We're doing the laws of Shabbat, and we started learning the laws of Pikuach Nefesh. And we discussed the idea that we desecrate Shabbos in order to save a life. The laws of Shabbat. And we have this rule, En davar omed bifnei pikuach nefesh. Nothing stands in the way of saving a life. And it doesn't matter if it's someone who is intelligent or someone who is mentally handicapped. It doesn't matter if it is an adult or a child. It doesn't matter if it's a baby or a fetus. We desecrate Shabbos to save the life. And it doesn't even matter if it's someone who is going to die anyways. But by desecrating Shabbos, you will prolong their life. I remember in my grandfather's final week of his life, it was Shabbos. And he needed the bed shifted. And we knew there was no way he was going to live out that week. It wasn't clear whether he was going to die on Shabbos or Sunday or Monday. Ultimately, my grandfather passed away, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. But that Shabbos, we knew it was over. And at that point, in order to help him, I don't remember if it was to eat or to breathe or to lie more comfortably, his bed had to be shifted and there was an electronic button. And I did it. I pushed the button because right now, it'll help him. It'll help his health, whatever that was. And he might live another 5 minutes, another hour, whatever. Doesn't matter. We view that as pikuach nefesh as well. We don't say, the guy is going to die anyway this week. So why do you need to prolong his life by another 5 minutes? If you could, you do. That's also pikuach nefesh.
Prolonging his life or making him comfortable?
Each detail has to be discussed. What we had a class on that, on what were Mechal Shabbos, Doraisa, Drabanan, what's a need, etc. So that's a rule that for Chayei Sha'a, even to extend someone's life by a period of time, that's also Pikuach Nefesh, for which we would desecrate Shabbos. Yes?
Does that mean that there are issues with, first of all, issuing a do not resuscitate for yourself, as well as listening to one for others?
I think the question deserves a longer answer than, that deserves a longer discussion. Yeah?
Does pikuach nefesh extend to, like, quality of life?
How do you mean?
So, like, something that's not necessarily threatening their life in a certain case, but it's going to cause a serious deterioration of their quality of life, like how they move, how they act on a day-to-day basis. So they're not going to die. And like, it's not a threat to their life, but giving them treatment on Shabbos would significantly improve their chances of keeping whatever state of quality.
So that's, you can't call that pikuach nefesh. That's what's called sometimes sakanat eiver or choli hanafal mishkav. Meaning we have gradations as to what we would do, and that would probably at least be sakanat eiver, endangering a limb, probably more than that. And again, we have, sometimes we call it an anju. We say, let's do it with an anju. There's a difference between doing something that's Doraita and Rabbanan. You can't say it's pikuach nefesh if their life isn't in danger. But we still have, again, we have choli she'en bo sakana, illness that has zero danger. We have choli she'nafal lemishkav, a person that's so ill that they have to lie down. And for them, we would already do many rabbinic things. And then we have sakanat eiver, that a limb, an organ, is in danger. And there we go even further. So there's a gradation. Now this halacha is even if a person is not conscious, even if a person has lost their sanity. We don't say, what's his life worth? He doesn't know anything. We don't say the guy's unconscious. What do I care if he has another hour or not? We extend life. I got a phone call about a month ago. A person called in. The doctors told them that their parent won't live out the week. And now they wanted to shift the parent home. But by shifting the parent home from the care, the parent wouldn't get dialysis and they'd certainly die that week. So I told them, you can't do it. And they said, but they'll be more at peace at home. I said, right, but no one knows how long they can live now on dialysis. The situation isn't good. But the way I hear it from the doctors, they're saying it's not good, and it could be with dialysis it will improve. But if you take them home for sure, they're going to die this week. And you're not allowed to do that to a person. To make a long story short, the person is alive and well today. I mean, this is a story from 4 or 5 weeks ago. Even though sometimes bringing a person home is the kindest thing you can do for them, but that's when the hospital can't offer anything. But when the hospital can offer something and there's some kind of hope, and taking the person home will give them comfort for the next day or two because they'll be with their family, but you're really taking them away from care which could save their life, you can't do that. And again, this person is Baruch Hashem alive and well, and now they come home for visits, they come home for a day or two at a time, a totally different life. And when they called me, they presented it as there's this slim chance they're going to get better, but the doctors are saying almost definitely they're going to pass away this week. But the way I heard it, that wasn't so accurate. And Baruch Hashem, the person pulled back. And so in these questions, it's very important to ask the question live, not to take an answer you were given a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when the situation was X, and then apply it to a situation that's Y. Every situation requires a new understanding of what's going on, and based on that, to try and see what the halacha tells us to do. Yeah?
Can a person make that decision for themselves? So choose to come home even though they know that they'll probably die? Maybe.
Usually not. Meaning a person can't say, this ingrown toenail is so terrible, if it becomes gangrene and if it kills the person, he doesn't care. He just wants it over with. So then we say he's got a mental problem, and we're not going to let him commit suicide, right, over an ingrown toenail. So the question is, where does it cross the line? There are times where the halacha says, there are situations where the halacha says, no one knows the right answer, so the patient can decide. But then I got a phone call from a person, 3-4 months ago. They were diagnosed with a very harsh cancer. And the person said to me, you know, I've had a miserable life, the guy says. I'm ready to meet my maker. Why do I have to suffer through the chemo and all that? So I asked him for permission. He gave permission to talk to his doctor. And when I spoke to the oncologist said, you know, with the treatment we have today, he can still live another 15 years. We don't have a cure for it, but right now we're at a point in the treatment that everyone who the treatment succeeded for is still living. Meaning that they aren't cured, but we're holding 15 years and people are still living with this new treatment. So he can still live. If we experiment with this, if we try and see if he responds to treatment, he can still live another 15 years. So I came back to the guy and I said, you know, your mitzvah is to fight for life. You can't give in. You can't. I'm saying, there's enough of a chance, the doctor's saying there's a 40% chance, 50% chance, that you can still live another 15 years. You can't give up. So the guy said he doesn't want to undergo chemo. He doesn't want to throw up. He doesn't want to lose his hair. He doesn't want to... So I called back the doctor, and the doctor said, well, losing his hair, not with this course of treatment. If this doesn't work, the next course. And vomiting today, the medication is such that he won't vomit. He'll have slight nausea here and there, but it's not what it was 20 years ago. And bottom line, the guy went in for treatment, and the treatment did not work. And then he had to go for round two, and he lost his hair. And every round, I went with him to talk to the doctor to analyze, does he have to? Because every time he tells me, I don't want to. So long, Be'ezrat Hashem, they'll still cure him. But so long as the medicine says that there's a very high chance he's going to pull out, so then just because he doesn't want to fight for life, that he doesn't have the right to do that. The Torah gives us a mitzvah to fight for life. And that there are points where the halacha has to tell us, you have to do this. Meaning a person very often is willing to throw in the towel long before they really should. At least in our generation. I don't know why, but we're a weak generation psychologically. Meaning we might be strong in other things, but psychologically, people don't want to suffer. Okay, people never wanted to suffer. But today, we're more extreme, like in our comfort. So there are definitely scenarios where the halacha will say, fight. And then there are scenarios where the halacha says, fighting could kill the person. You know, so might as well not fight. You don't know if you're prolonging their life. Why would they suffer? And then there are scenarios where the halacha says, it's the person's choice. I have a friend whose mother, when he was in eighth grade, was diagnosed that she had 6 months left to live. She had a tumor in her brain. And she decided she's fighting. And she lived till after 12th grade. I think she passed away when we were in our first year post high school. And in eighth grade, the doctors told her she had 6 months left to live, and she continued working until her final few months of life. She was working. She was a teacher in a public school. She was, So again, the halacha doesn't always tell us an answer, but sometimes the halacha does.